23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We saw last week several aspects of God's mercy. It is a branch of His long suffering, which is His ability to bear provocations for a long time. So it speaks of His patience. Doesn't mean that He's doesn't have anger. He does. That's one of His attributes. But He's not easily provoked, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. So it's a, His mercy is a declaration of His power of self-control. God's never out of control. He always operates within His person. It is declared in Nehemiah 9, verse 17, that He is slow to anger, not incapable of anger, but not hasty to discharge His wrath upon offenders. For all that, we ought to be very thankful. Again, many present a God that you get out of line, He's going to let you have it. That's not the God that I see in the Bible. Again, God does judge. God does display His anger, His wrath. But He's never hasty to discharge His wrath upon offenders. And may I say, even if He was, He would be right. If God were to let us have it every time we got out of line, He would be right in doing so. He's God. So God is long-suffering, and that's related to His mercy. And His mercy follows us all the days of our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Think of the word follow. It conveys the idea of to accompany. So God's mercy accompanies us. God's goodness accompanies us. The follow is to trail around with. So God's goodness, God's mercy trails around with us. We need to learn to see God's goodness and God's mercy in our life. It says it follows us all the days of our life. That is, every single day, I ought to look for God's goodness. I ought to look for God's mercy, because it's there. How do we know? Because it says so. All the days of my life. And we can even go back before salvation. And that is so. God's goodness, God's mercy followed us all the days of our life. Had that not been the case, we would not have made it to the day of salvation. And then, of course, we, in our lost days, we had no care for God's goodness, God's mercy. Wouldn't have known it if we would have seen it. But since we've been saved, we have an idea of what His goodness is. We have an idea of what His mercy is. We ought to look for it every single day. A lot is dependent upon what we see. And we need to see His goodness and mercy. So So he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He bases that upon the entire psalm. Everything that he's mentioned, this is sort of a summary of the entire psalm. Those are the words of someone who's living in the shadow of God's goodness and God's mercy. We ought to live in the shadow. We ought to live in the reality of God's goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Those are the words of one who's living in the awareness of God's goodness and mercy. It's the words of one who acknowledges God's goodness and mercy. It's one who has assurance of God's goodness and mercy. And the basis of our assurance is not us. The basis of our assurance is the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, because he's merciful, because he's good, because he's merciful, he's our shepherd. That means goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. These are the words of one who believes in the goodness and the mercy of God. We can believe because of what is written. We also believe because we have experienced God's goodness and mercy. We should not have to experience something in order to believe it, but when we do experience it, that ought to strengthen our belief. Certainly these are the words of one who is beholding the goodness and mercy of God. He's not just giving a passing glance at the goodness and mercy of God. He's beholding it. He's concentrating upon it. Certainly these are the words of one who's grateful for the goodness and mercy of the Lord. How grateful we ought to be for God's goodness, for God's mercy. It's one who's rejoicing in God's goodness and mercy. How can you not rejoice if every single day there's goodness and mercy of God surrounding your life? He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me, and this will be all the days of my life. The day does not dictate God's goodness and mercy. God's goodness and mercy is not dependent upon what kind of day it is. It is regardless of the day, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And we all know that we've all lived enough days to know that days can be very different. There are days of joy, there are days of heartache. But either way, it does not change. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There are days of convenience, there are days of inconvenience. But once again, it does not affect God's goodness and God's mercy. There's days of ease. There's days filled with difficulties and troubles. There are days that are bright and fruitful. There are days that are dark and stormy. Doesn't matter. The day is not what dictates this truth. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. There are days that are calm. There are days that are filled with turmoil. But again, the day doesn't matter. There's days of peace. There's days of comfort. There's days of strength. There's also days of weakness. There's days of health. There's days of sickness. There's days of friends. There's days of enemies. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a fact. It is a fact that we need to get a hold of. And that brings us to the anticipation of the psalmist. And the Psalm 23 life is a life of anticipation. It's not a life of dread. It is a life of anticipating. It is a life of anticipating. We can anticipate God's goodness and mercy, but it's a life that goes beyond. We anticipate something beyond all the days of our life. Again, the Lord is my shepherd. God is the shepherd. And as the shepherd, he completes his work. He does not leave anything unfinished. And the last phrase of the psalm is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, like every other statement in the psalm, it is a statement that goes back to the Lord is. Everything goes back to that statement. Everything is dependent upon that statement. So we notice here in verse 6, the very last phrase, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a declaration that the Lord completes his work. It is certain. It is greatly anticipated by the child of God. So David says with much assurance, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he adds a conjunction, and. That means there's something more. There's something more. So the word and is a word used, to connect two clauses. When the second clause, of course, comes after the first, but it also suggests a progressive change. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will. There's a change that takes place. And as marvelous as the statement is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that little word and tells us something. It tells us it doesn't end there. All the days of my life, and. That one little word tells us it doesn't end with all the days of my life. Now, of course, the Bible is filled with such declarations of that truth, that life does not end when your days end. This verse declares the same thing. All the days of my life, and. So there's something in addition to all the days of my life. All the days of my life, whatever those days consist of. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The psalmist is saying it gets progressively better. For the child of God, it gets progressively better. And he says with assurance and anticipation, I will. There's a tone of assurance, I will. It's not I hope, I think, But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see, the psalmist now moves from time, all the days of my life, to eternity, forever. All the days of my life are not forever, but there is a forever. And it comes after all the days of my life. So he moves from time to eternity. Everything about all the days of my life is temporary. Everything about forever is permanent. So he moves from time to eternity. He moves from the temporary to the permanent. And that's what the child of God is anticipating. We're not afraid of forever. We're anticipating forever. So he moves from all the days of my life to forever. He moves from now, all the days of my life, to then, I will. Not I have. But I will. So he's moving to another time. He's moving to then. He's moving from now to then. We live in the now, but we ought to anticipate, as a child of God, the then. Forever. With the Lord. So, both of these phrases, all the days of my life and forever, they both involve Him. All the days of my life and I will. So they both involve Him. Now and then. And they both involve the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That involves the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That involves the Lord. So whatever my now is, it's me and the Lord. And my forever, same thing. Me and the Lord. So goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And our lives are lived in imperfect bodies of flesh. And these bodies are subject to difficulties. It's true, all the days of our life, they're subject to trials, they're subject to sorrows, they're subject to persecutions and afflictions. They're subject to sickness. They're subject to death. They're subject to adversities. In these bodies, there are innumerable battles. There are innumerable struggles. There are temptations. And in these bodies, we live in a very sinful and ungodly world, surrounded by filthiness and vileness and wickedness and ungodliness, surrounded by abomination, surrounded by blasphemy, surrounded by degradation, surrounded by heresy. And we live in a place, of course, that we must contend with the workings and the temptations and the wiles and the traps and the darts and the deceptions of Satan. It is a place where we have imperfect fellowship with God. We as saved people have fellowship with God, but it's imperfect. Any fellowship, even our best fellowship with God in this life is imperfect. We worship God in this life, but our worship is very imperfect. We have victories in this life, but even our victory is imperfect. This is true of all the days of our life, but it does not end there. It does not end there. If the psalm just ended, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," period. That is a good ending for all the days of your life, but it leaves nothing after. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with "all the days of my life." It ends with, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Again, everything goes back to that. So this final statement, "and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," is a statement of the finished work of the Lord. It is a declaration of complete victory. And that's what we anticipate, and we ought to live in anticipation of such, excited anticipation of forever with the Lord. That's our future for you and I that are saved. We live this Psalm 23 life, and it's a wonderful life. It's a life better than the life of any worldling. So it's a wonderful life to live in Psalm 23. But as wonderful as it is, that's not where it ends. It ends with something better. It ends with a glorious place. He says, "I will dwell." That is, I will reside. I will be settled in the house of the Lord forever. And that speaks of heaven, by the way. He's not talking about the temple. Because he would not dwell in the temple forever. He's talking about heaven. But what it reveals to us, it speaks of heaven as a real place. It's a real place. It is a forever dwelling place. It is referred to as the house of the Lord. A house is real. A house must have a location. And so it is with heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven must have a location. It must have a specific location, not just some general location. It's a very specific place, which of course makes it real. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house," that's just of this tabernacle, talking about our physical bodies, "were dissolved," we have, we already have it. We're not there yet, but we have it. "We have a building of God, an house," and then he tells us something about this building and this house, "not made with hands." It's not man-manufactured. And it is eternal. So it goes, it's something beyond all of our days. And it's eternal in the heavens. Now that verse, again, says a lot. The building of God, a house. It's real. It's not made with hands. It's something far beyond that. It's eternal, which speaks of its duration. And it has a location in the heavens. It is the place. It's God's house. It's God's building, a building of God, and a house. It is the place of His abode. It is the future place of our abode, forever with the Lord. That means God is there. If it is the place of His abode, it is also the place of His glory. The Word of God presents heaven as a real place. Not merely air, but a real place. Not merely a state of being. There is a state of being in heaven, of course, but it's not merely a state of being. It's a place. It is a location. Heaven is not a fable. It's not a dream. It's not the product of human imagination. It's a real place. It's a real place. And our life does not end with all the days of our life because we have that little word, and. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A real place. A real location. And the child of God anticipates being in that forever. That being said, we ought to anticipate all the days of our life because we know what God does all the days of our life. It's recorded here in Psalm 23. Every day ought to be a day of anticipation. And as good as all that is, we know it gets better. So how can a child of God be in a continual state of depression, of sadness? How can they live every single day in that state? If goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, and then it even gets better, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It ought to be a life of great joy, a life of great anticipation. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what You teach us from Your Word, the assurance that You give us out of Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would help us this day to worship You in a way that would honor and glorify Your name, a way that would please You. Pray, Lord, that You'd draw us closer to Thee. We pray for those that are lost, Lord, that You'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.